you again for part two of our talk on knowing God. Let's open with prayer. Father God, we are thankful that you are a God who can be known and who wants to be known by us and who wants to have fellowship with us. Help us to find ways to deepen that fellowship and deepen our knowing of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I said last week, there's a vast difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. A person can gain great knowledge about God and still not know God in his greatness. I'm going to say that again. A person may gain great knowledge about God and still not know God in his greatness. That's so true. Knowing God is not just what we know about God, but how we respond to what we know about God. It's treasuring what we know about God, being hungry for more of him, not as an academic pursuit, but as a person who can be known. Now, knowing about God is not bad. As Christians, we have the responsibility to know about God. For instance, we're told in several locations in Scripture to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Now, the Greek noun translated as mind refers to the mind as a faculty of understanding, feeling, and desiring. Basically, there's nothing wrong with using our God-given mental faculties to know more about God. And if we do not know about God, we cannot know God. For that matter, it would also be very difficult to follow the command in 1 Peter 3:15, which is to always be ready to give a reasoned defense for our faith if using our brains was not involved. Studying, memorizing, and declaring the truth of Scripture involves the mind. It involves growing in spiritual knowledge and maturity, moving from the milk to the meat of the word. So there's nothing wrong with pursuing knowledge about God as it's revealed in Scripture. Now, if you were to think about the state of American culture, you might realize that when you talk about God today, not anybody understands that you're talking about the God of the Bible. A lot of people believe in God in a spiritual sense, meaning there is a God somewhere, but not in the personal sense. They don't believe that God wants to know them or even cares about them. There are people who believe in gods of Eastern mysticism, and people who are of the Muslim faith who believe in Allah. But what we want to focus on, because we are of the Christian faith, is God as he is revealed in the Bible. So what are some valuable facts that every Christian should know about God as revealed in the Bible? And here's just a few. We could spend 2 or 3 weeks just talking facts about God, but I've just picked out a few to highlight for us today. One fact that it's good to know about God is that God exists. Most people believe in God's existence because they can use their common intelligence. The evidence points in that direction. But can God's existence be proved? No. It cannot be proved beyond a shadow of a doubt scientifically, as you could prove that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. But if you use your logical reasoning ability, you can make a case for God's existence that is compelling and irrefutable. And there's a lot of good books out there in the field that we call apologetics, which talks about proving the existence of God. And that is a really interesting study to me. I enjoy studying apologetics. we studied in our ladies' class for a while, The Case for Christ, and that is an apologetic style study on proofs of the existence of Christ and the resurrection. So apologetics as a field has some very good arguments that tend to prove a very compelling case for God's existence. The other thing we need to know about God's existence is that he's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, all three of the Trinity were involved in creation. All three worked together to secure our salvation by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and all three are at work today. And those are just two things from the Bible that we know about God and that he exists. Another thing that's a good fact for Christians to know about God is that God is the supreme creator of everything. Now, why do we care? Well, in the first place, it shows us that because God is the supreme creator, he's also the supreme ruler. He is the supreme power. The person that invented the game Uno got to make up the rules for Uno. He's the creator of the game. God is the creator of the universe, and he made the rules of the universe. He created gravity, for instance. God created the rules, if you sin, you die. And God created the rule that a sacrifice had to be made. So it's important that we understand that God is the supreme creator of everything. And Genesis tells us the story of the creation of the universe. It wasn't by chance or a random big bang. The world and all the world, all in the world, were created by the word of God. And the creation is also sustained by God. We also know that from the Bible. A third thing to know about God is that God has spoken. For a time in human history, it was a very prevalent belief to believe in deism, which was a philosophy, I'm going to call it, rather than a religion, that taught that, yes, we concede that God created the world, but then he just let go of it, and he's not involved in it. He doesn't care what happens to it. He is irrelevant to our times today. But I want you to know that that is not true, because God has spoken. He has spoken to us. If God exists and if he created the human family, one would expect that he's communicated with those he made in his very image. The truth is, God has spoken. He has spoken abstractly through his creation, and he's also communicated concretely through his spoken word and through his son Jesus Christ. So God very much has communicated with us. And if you're a Christian, he communicates with you also. Hebrews 1, starting in verse 1, says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." In this passage, it says, God spoke in the past, and God speaks through his Son. God is very relevant to us, and his message is relevant for us. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Peter says, I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking and think about the words God has spoken to us through the prophets and through Jesus Christ and through the apostles. God has spoken, and that message is relevant to us today. A fourth thing, I think, God wants us to know is that God is love. In Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about God revealing himself to us. You see, God demonstrated his love toward us in a very unique way. And in starting in verse 6 of chapter 5 of Romans, Paul says this, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The death of Christ is the demonstration of God's love for us. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us. God is love. A fifth thing that God, a fact about God, is that God is eternal. God has no beginning and no end. Now, why is it important for us to believe that God is eternal? Well, God's eternity is the bedrock upon which our future is built. God has promised me eternal life. How could he give me eternal life if he himself is not eternal? An eternal God who wants to live in fellowship with his creation has offered us eternal life with him. That is good news and a remarkable blessing. But it's only possible because God himself is eternal. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. "We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." So John is saying God is the true God and God himself is eternal life. One passage in the book of Ephesians sums up what God wants his people to know and understand about him, and it's in Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 19. Paul told the Christians he wrote to that he prayed for them with this in mind, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." So there is a whole wealth of information about God in the Bible, and it's important that we understand what God says about himself in the Bible. So what's the difference between knowing about God and knowing God? Well, the fundamental difference between knowing about God and knowing God is about personal relationships. Because God is a person, you can know about him, but you don't really know him until you have a personal relationship with him. For instance, I can know about the Kardashians. Now, what I know about the Kardashians would fit in a thimble, but I know many people in America are mesmerized by the Kardashians in their life, as portrayed on the show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I can know about them, but I wouldn't say that I know them. But this is where a lot of people are mistaken about God. To know the Kardashians, not know about them, but to know the Kardashians, you have to meet them and get to know them. You have to reveal things to each other and be willing to share in each other's lives. Knowing the Kardashians requires personal relationships and personal connections. There aren't very many people in America who know the Kardashians. There are a lot of people who know about the Kardashians. And the same could be said of God. A lot of people in America know about God. They might even know these facts about God that I chose to talk about. But do they know God? The staggering promise of the Bible is that we can know God like this, and that he wants us to know him and share in his eternal life. Isn't that a staggering promise? That the creator of the universe wants to know us, and he wants us to know him, and he wants us to share in his eternal life. In fact, one of the fundamental differences between Christianity and other religions is that we can know God as a person. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "This is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." If you want to boast in anything, boast that you know God. That's a pretty remarkable thing for Jeremiah to say. Actually, it's from the mouth of God. If you know God, that's something that you can boast about. God gives you permission. Next week, I want to talk about how can I get to know God beyond just knowing about him. And that's the important thing, isn't it? It's not just knowing about God, it's knowing God. It's spending time with him. It's sharing your life with him. It's building a personal relationship. It's revealing things to each other and listening to God. That's what the difference is between knowing about God and knowing God. So this week, as you are thinking about maybe this lesson, why don't you try to jot down some things that you think would help you to know God more than just know about God, and see if your list compares to mine. Let's have a closing prayer. Our Father God, I thank you that your word reveals so much to us about you and who you are, and your involvement in our lives, and that you love us, that you created this world, and that we are part of your family. I thank you, Father, and I praise you. And I ask, Father, that you will increase my understanding about you. And that you will draw me closer to you so that I can know you more. Be with all the ladies who listen to this broadcast. Draw us closer to you. Make us more like Jesus. In whose name we pray.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.